Mind-changing radio.
You know, we have this whole self-talk thing that goes on, and we can often undermine our own efforts and undermine relationships without even realizing it.
She's a successful business coach, entrepreneur, and literally stumbled across the idea of her podcast in a Home Depot parking lot for Plate Story. My guest, Trista Polo, next on Self-Talk Radio Show, brought to you by
Pure Energy Apothecary, now offering hand sanitizers and lotions in scented and unscented. Get yours at pureenergybody.com.
Oh, it's great to have you on. Now, you've worked with some big deal entrepreneurs in your day.
Well, yeah. So I've worked with people who have gone on to be part of TV. They've gone on to write books and create multi-million dollar businesses through real estate and their own entrepreneurial ventures. And a lot of it came down to how they show up in the world as communicators. You know, we have this whole self-talk thing that goes on, and we can often undermine our own efforts and undermine relationships without even realizing it.
How so?
Well, have you ever noticed that whenever you show up to a conversation, there's a lot more going on than just the words being said?
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm talking about way more than just body language.
Like, you know, there's a cold stare across the room from someone. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, exactly. I find that when we show up to any conversation, we bring our entire past, all of our hangups, our challenges that we've overcome, and even the ones that we haven't into every conversation without even realizing it. And so when we do that, we can really muddy the waters of what's expected, what we expect, and it can impact our relationships and our efforts.
Now,
so when we can really, oh, sorry, go ahead.
When you coach some of your clients, have they given off a vibe that they're not even aware of that is holding them back?
Well, here's the thing. We are all giving off a vibe that we're not aware of unless we have done work to make ourselves aware. We are all walking around acting and reacting like we learned to do as kids. And unless we've really done the work to transform those conversations that we have inside of our head, they can really impact how we behave. I know for me, I was very low self-esteem, low self-worth growing up, and I brought that into my work. And so even though I would work really hard, my results were always just good enough. And only when I transformed how I talk to myself and how I view myself in the world could I level up those results and really be proud of how I authentically show up.
Wow. When did you notice the shift in yourself?
It was fairly recently, in the last few years or so. I've always done a lot of transformational work, but it was when I started looking at how I communicate with myself, you know, that inner monologue that we have with ourselves, and how I communicate with others, that I really started to experience that shift. I did a lot of that initial work through a communication curriculum that I did at Landmark Worldwide, and then I've taken that into some other areas as well.
So it almost sounds a little like a neuro-linguistic programming.
You know, there's a lot to be said for the value of neuro-linguistic programming, and I've become very interested in that recently.
Yeah,
I've done some study on it myself. I'm not a teacher of it or a coach for it at this time, but I'm very intrigued by it because I agree with you that how we speak to ourselves, the words we use, the patterns of speech we use with others can really sway. And in a very good way, positive way.
Definitely. Now, how did you get started working with these superstars, book authors, guest hosts of television shows, creating million-dollar businesses? How did you get started in all of that?
As I was looking at myself and transforming my own conversations, I realized that I had a lot more knowledge base and a lot more to offer and give than I really was willing to give myself credit for. Part of it was because of my low self-worth. I'd done all this work on myself, but I always felt like I was too much of a work in progress to have anything of contribution to offer others. When I started to see my power, then I could actually make a difference for others. And it started by really just having a very strong need to make a difference and to create a positive impact and allow others to see the power in themselves.
Hmm. And how do you identify that in, you know, seeing the greatness in someone that they might not necessarily see?
It's one of the things that I challenge myself with and sometimes am most frustrated by. Have you ever noticed that you can have a conversation with someone and boy, you just see this shining light coming out of them, but all you hear from them in their words is the negative about who they are and the self-effacing kind of talk. And it's really difficult. That's a complete paradigm shift for someone to have because it's usually so deeply rooted in who they see themselves as. Sometimes it takes a lot more work than you think it should, than I think it should. I just want them to, you know, get it already. But they have to get there in their own way and in their own time. And I find that coming with absolute directness, but also complete unconditional love, that combination works really well. They know it's a safe space that they can explore what's there. Then they can start to see more than they're willing to look at. You know, a lot of times it's just being willing to face what's so, what's truth.
Yeah, yeah. So what are the kinds of clients that you like to work with?
I would have to say that my favorite clients are traditional business owners. They have started a business typically because they love what they do and they find themselves really good at it and they want to give it back in a bigger way than being an employee. And then they find that they have to run a business. And that's not really what they meant to sign up for. They meant to just be an expert that knew they could bring a lot of value to the people they had as clients. And so I'm able to help them to see the bigger picture and figure out how to have those really powerful relationships and connections beyond the sales and marketing process with their clients, and also to create really powerful teams inside of their companies as well.
We're speaking with Trista Polo. She's the host of Plate Story. It's a wonderful podcast you've got to check out. And also, she is a coach for entrepreneurs and business owners. And when we come back, we're going to find out the most common issue that holds us back from greatness. How do you tackle goal setting? And of course, some of the favorite stories from Plate Story from Trista Polo next on Self Talk Radio Show. Can't sleep? Have brain fog? Try this. Sleep meditation, soothing meditations to help you stop bad habits, start positive change, and sleep like a baby. Sleepmeditation.org. Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. My guest, Trista Polo. And Trista, we were talking about the attributes of some of the people you really enjoy working with. And is there anything where they get stuck and they have a hard time moving forward? What are some tips and tricks if we get stuck in some of the things, the thought patterns that we're in?
Well, I think one thing is to have a network around you that is more than just a BFF that'll listen to you complain. People that hold you to what you say you want. It could be an accountability buddy, a committed listener, a mastermind group, a networking group, or even a coach, but someone or a group of people that know you to be bigger than your low points so that they can help you see the forest through the trees when you need that level set.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned mastermind groups. I hear that from just about every guest that I have. And what I'm wondering is, how do you pick a mastermind group that is going to pull you up instead of pulling you down into the complaining category?
I guess I've been really lucky to be part of mastermind groups where people in it are up to something. You know, the saying, your network is your net worth. I think that has a lot to do with it. You want to really be very careful about choosing a networking environment that is forward thinking. This is not a book club where we pretend to read books, but we drink a lot of wine. This is a group of people who are coming together to really be mindful and purposeful. And if everybody's on the same page with that, then it's a very effective way. And I will say, if you don't have access to a mastermind like that, create it. And if you're not sure how to create it, you can read books on masterminds and how to put them together. Think and Grow Rich was the original kind of manual for creating a mastermind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of times we get in our own way with our thoughts and stuff. What is the most common issue with the coaching that you've done over the past 13 years or so that you find in your clients that holds them back from their greatness? And once they break through that, then they reach higher echelons. What's the most common one that you see?
I would have to say time management. I mean, it seems like such a simple thing, but time and again, what I hear is, I didn't have time to do it, or I don't have any way to fit that in, or I got too busy with this challenge my client was facing and helping them do that, that I didn't get to this. Creating structures, allowing us to be able to manage our week and our month, even down to the day, and sometimes half an hour increments, depending on, you know, your schedule, can really make a difference. And I think because that's an accessible enough thing, it's not this big, huge thing that you have to go transform in your brain or go learn a huge skill. It's just managing your time so that you're thinking ahead instead of being reactionary. That makes a huge difference with just small tweaks.
What's your favorite client story?
My favorite client story. Well, you know, I have one client who is a local business owner. They've been in business for over 40 years. I love them because they're a family-run business. It started out with just the husband and wife, and then the kids got involved, and now the grandkids work for them as well. And they really got started because they wanted to be able to pay their bills. They wanted to be able to offer a good service and provide for their family. And the husband of the founder of the company, he always learned from his father, if you want to always have a job, either feed him or clean up after him. So he chose the clean up after him side. And, you know, they just really always show up to do the best they can for themselves, their family, their clients, and their employees. And I just love working with a company like that because their heart is in the right place. And I think when your heart is in the right place, that everything else follows because you make your decisions from doing the right thing.
Sounds like they had a legacy business. And so when you get into working with legacy businesses, do you ever have the, well, we've always done it this way coming in?
Absolutely. And I think that there's definitely sometimes a little bit of disagreement between the different generations of who's running things today and who's making the decisions. When I come up with that scenario, I like to take a mediator stance where I listen to everybody and just kind of help them all see the whole side and the whole story and bring an outside view, which I think can really help. They, of course, are very connected as a family. And so they always come together in the end. And I think, again, that's from that heart leadership, because at the end of the day, they're family, they love each other.
Now, you've worked with authors as well. How did that's quite a jump. You have quite a diversity of people you work with. How did you get connected with authors?
You know, it's funny how you get connected to people. I think when you put yourself out there and you authentically show up, that people are connected to you. You become a magnet for the people that need what you offer. One person I'm thinking of, she authored a book before we started working together, but I've been able to support her in bringing her book and her brand into the next level. She created a book. And now what does she do to create an audience and a following? So I've been helping her do that.
And what do you do to create an audience and a buzz with a book?
Well, you have to connect the people with the message. So it all comes down, in her particular book, it comes down to her story and sharing her story and what she learned from what she experienced and bringing that message out to help others. And so we've been doing things to increase her brand through video, through podcast interviews, and being able to connect with the audience. When I work with her, I'm doing a lot on her level setting her own mindset so that she can get out of her own way. Because, you know, when you're bringing a message to the world, you have to remember that you're the one they're looking to hear from. And again, it comes down to that staying in the focus of the mindset that will bring you forward. So a lot on her own self-talk and a lot on staying the course no matter what. You know, my coaching style is very customized to an individual's needs. So that's why it might seem like it's very diverse, because it all comes down to who you say you are in the world. My motto is that I like to help people win whatever winning looks like to them.
Yeah, that's great. And having the goal in mind. And, you know, how do you tackle goal setting? I mean, is it do you have them write down what they want and you work out how you can come in to help them achieve their goals? Or sometimes do they write the goals and find out that the goal that they wrote down is so far from where they ended up? Have you had that happen before?
Oh, of course. You know,
we all do that. You know, yeah, I'm going to make $1 million in 10 minutes. No, you know, we've got a few things to do, right?
Absolutely. You know, the goals, I used to stick with that SMART goal, you know, specific, timed, etc.
Yeah.
That SMART process. I've started to use a process where it's actually a creation process. So you think from the end. So think about where you're headed and imagine that you're already there, as though today is the day that you've actually achieved your goal. And now let's do a process, kind of like reverse project management. What needs to be done a week before for that goal to take place? How about a month before? How about 6 months before, and so on? And we can then kind of unfold the creation of every single step that's needed to be taken in order for the goal to be an absolute guarantee. By doing that, now I can come back to the present and I can see each week, each month, where I am in relation to where I'm headed. Am I going to make it, or am I going to miss the mark? And do I need to make some adjustments? So this is a process that I've learned and implemented with a lot of success, because it makes it, you know, that saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So it really chunks it down,
you know,
bite-sized steps.
I love that, Trista. I love starting with the end in mind and then progressing. Well, what do you have to do a week before this actually happens, and 2 weeks, a month? I love that. That is such a neat concept. I've never heard that before. My guest is Trista Polo. She is the host of Plate Story. We're going to talk about the story behind the plates when we come back on Self Talk Radio Show.
Ready to create your own podcast? Not sure where to begin? Start with WebHelp US. They built Self Talk Radio Show's site and the site for I Love Old Time Radio Show, now boasting over 100,000 downloads. Why not have them build yours? WebHelpUS.com.
Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest is Trista Polo. She's the host of Plate Story. I've been teasing you all this interview about this. This is such a great idea for a podcast. And can you tell me how it came about for you?
Yes, absolutely. I've done podcasts in the past where I was always a co-host, but I always ended up being the one to ask the questions. I really do feel very comfortable being the interviewer on your side of the chair. And so when I decided to tell stories about people's vanity plates, I knew a podcast as an interview style would be the way that I'd want to go. The podcast thing for plates specifically, it kind of came up like any idea through a series of events and then an aha moment. I started noticing a couple vanity plates in a Home Depot parking lot. First, it was one that said peace. I thought, oh, that's nice. What a nice message to see in a parking lot. And then just a few days later, I walked by another license plate in the Home Depot parking lot, and it said love. And they felt like mile markers, like messages, you know, keep peace, keep love in mind. And of course, now I start seeing vanity license plates everywhere, and a lot of them are a little bit of a mystery. You know, like,
yeah.
What are they trying to say there?
Or maybe they're not trying to say anything. They're just messing with you.
Maybe. But in New York, where I live, it's expensive to get a license plate. So I figured if you're going to pick a plate, that's harder than picking a tattoo, because you only get one. So I started deciding what I wanted for a license plate, and that roller coaster ride led me to realize that probably if you put a license plate on your car with a specific word, maybe it's just your name, maybe it's just the year you were born, so it's easier to remember, but there's probably a story behind a lot of those plates, and I would love to know what they are. And what's so interesting is it's kind of become a window into the human condition of drivers on the road. And I've talked to people all over the country. I've now talked to a couple people from Canada that'll be on future episodes. And there really are some very interesting stories. And even when the story's not that interesting, like I have one, the license plate is Love Pigs. Well, the story is she just really, really, really loves pigs. Right? I mean, that's the whole story. But then I got to meet this woman and I got to get to know her and how much she loves her kids and her family and just who she was. So even though her story about her license plate was pretty simple, the woman, of course, was not, right? Multifaceted with her own life and history. And it was fun to chat with her and get to know her. And so the underlying mission of the show has kind of become, you know, we're all out on the road, but we tend to have a lot less patience for people that are driving with us through life because we don't know them. They're nobody to me. So mm-hmm. I'll just be taking out my frustration and anger and anxiety on them when they drive past me too quickly or come up too close behind me. By having this podcast, I get to introduce people to the other drivers on the road, hopefully giving them a little more patience and compassion for each other.
I love it. That is so cool. So I love pigs. Love pigs.
Love pigs.
I had a plate, Got Clicks, I had many years ago, and I should get it back again. But it was one of those things where I had it for a while, and then I let it go because I forgot, you know, I got busy.
Yeah.
Oh, such a bummer. But yes, so, and the podcast, We Can Find Plate Story. Now, you spell it differently, too. You spell it P-L with the number 8-T-E story. Is that your license plate?
My license plate, but the funny thing about this is that I got the idea to have the name be plate story with an 8 because I just love when people use numbers for part of the word.
Yeah.
I just think that's so creative. So I did that first as the name of the podcast, and I thought, oh, I better make sure I own that plate so that nobody else can get it after I take the show on the road.
That's cool. Now, do you take the show on the road? Is this is it video or is it strictly audio?
We do audio and video, but it's usually I do it through Zoom.
Yep.
So that it's remote. I find I've done a couple in person and they just didn't have the sound quality that I could manage.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, I do them remote. My very first in-person one was with I don't know if you know comic books at all. But through just a series of events, I ended up interviewing Richard Pini, who's the co-creator of ElfQuest, which is a 40-year comic series, and it's just been put into the Comic Book Hall of Fame. He and his wife, Wendy, have this amazing legacy. Talk about legacy.
Mm.
And it was just by accident. I saw his plate. I took a picture of it. I connected to him through his Instagram account, and he said yes to an interview, which I was so happy about.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And we did it in person, which was wonderful, except that then I had to manage the sound. And so I just thought, you know, it's probably better. I love the energy of interviewing somebody in person, but I can have a more consistent result not having a crew to come and do all the sound stuff for me.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people aren't familiar with microphones, if you know, especially if you're just interviewing them because of their license plate.
I definitely don't interview very many celebrities on my show.
but they're famous because they've been on your show, right?
That's right. And I've had a couple.
Yeah.
So ElfQuest is certainly one. And then a band, Cersei, who has hundreds of thousands of YouTube followers, a huge following when they perform live. They're a band. And then I recently had Kitsy Duncan from The Oddity Files, which is an Amazon TV show. She's a ghost and paranormal investigator.
Cool.
I've had a couple. Yeah.
Do you have any weird stuff happen while you interviewed her?
Oh, no, nothing weird while I interviewed her. But we did talk about my own little paranormal experiences when we had her on the show.
Oh, that's cool. You know, I've had three or four psychics on every single time the audio goes out without fail. Every stinking time. And they know it by now. They're just like, yeah, we've been there, done that. We'll just wait for it.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, every time. So, yeah, we always have something challenging. But, yeah, they're always fun. I love those interviews. They're my favorites. So, yeah, do you have any favorites that you know, really stand out? I mean, you've had your celebrities, but are there some that have just been unique experiences?
Yeah, you know, there was one. It was episode 7, plate number 7. I saw the license plate in a parking lot, and I have these postcards that I leave on the person's door. Not right now, but I leave
awesome.
On the person's door. And it says, I love your plate. I want you on my podcast. So the plate was Meg's Man, M-E-G-Z-M-A-N. And it turns out that Meg was the fiance of the person who owned the car. And she also had a license plate, Meg's Benz. And so I had them both on the show, Megan and Steve from Orange County, New York. And they were just like having a rom-com on my podcast. They were just so in love, and they had such a wonderful story. Like, neither of them was ever going to ever get married again. And they blended their families. They were going to get married. And then during the quarantine, they just eloped. And now she's pregnant.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's just such a great story. I'm going to actually, we're planning on a little reunion show to have them come on my podcast as a bonus, just to give everybody an update. Because I was just a huge fan of them when they were on the first time.
Oh, that is great. So, yeah. Trista, thank you so much. What's next for you?
I'm having so much fun with this podcast that, you know, I'm going to continue to talk to people about their license plates. In terms of my coaching, I'm starting to do a little podcast coaching. Because, again, what does winning look like to you? And a lot of people are starting podcasts right now.
Great.
And I'm continuing to work with business owners and entrepreneurs. I have an ebook that I just published, which you can get from my website at moreleadsbook.com. It's how to level up your network and your net worth.
Fantastic. And we'll definitely have a link to that in the show comments. So Trista, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Sarah. This was a blast.
I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show. If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, mind-changing radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.